Okay, we just got right after the mission at the bottom of Lamed Amud Beis. Right, the Gemara had a machlokes Abaye and Rava. When a person defaults on a chayv and then it goes to collection, and he collects from things that he had a shibud on, that he had a lien on, so the question is, at what point in time did it become his? Does it become his l'mafreya? That's a Abaye shita. And then now we look at it as if it was retroactively his the whole time from the beginning of the loan. Or do we say that it's mikan al abba, only from the time of the collection and on it's his, but the whole time during the loan until it was collected, it belonged to the loiv, it belonged to the borrower. So the Gemara started speaking out the bottom line, kol heicha da akdash loiv v'zavan loiv, if the loiva was the one who was makdish these things in the interim, or he sold them in the interim, then kuli amale pligi, then there's no machlekes habay in rabba, the asi malva v'taref, that the malva can come and take it away from the loikeach, the asi malva uparak, and also the malva can come and redeem it from hektish and take it from hektish. Meaning, even if you're going to, meaning for sure if it's retroactive, for sure, so it comes out that he never sold it or he's never makdish it. But even according to rabba that it's not retroactive, nonetheless, that doesn't stop, and it was the loivas at the time, it doesn't stop the malva from collecting it from the lekeach or collecting it from hektish. And the reason is because I have a lien on it, and you can't take away the lien. Just because you sold it, the lien's still there, and I can still collect it from it. That's number one. Rashi takes it even a step further, and Rashi says, because it's by the malva, because it's given to the malva as collateral, so it's even though it belongs to the loiva, it's called eini b'rishusai. It's not in its rishus. And anything that's not in your rishus, you can't sell and you can't be makdish. But either way, everybody would agree in such a case that the loiva's sale and the loiva's hekdish is not valid. And therefore, that's not the machlokes, it's not a nafkamina between Abaye and Rava. And the Gemara just proves by mechira it's a davar pashut that you can take it from the lekeach. How do you know that when he's makdish it, you can take it away from hektish? The tnan, because we learn in the Mishnah, ma'isev ay dinar upayde es anachasam elu. He adds one more dinar to the debt and he payde the nachasam. The case is over there was a malva and a leiva. The leiva owed the malva a certain amount of money, and the piece of karka that he was makdish was meshubit to the malva. So what the malva does is he has a right to collect the fields from hektish, because like we said, he has a lien on it. However, Chazal made a takana that we don't want him to take it without being paidit, because if that's the case, it just exerted the rabbanon, and it looks like you could be mighty something from hektish to chulin even without pidyon. So midr abanan they were misakin that he should pay one dinar to hektish, a small token amount, to be a pinyon. Because midraisa anyway, even a hektish to a shavamana, you could be paid on a little bit. So you just go through the motions midr abanan to make it look like there's a pinyon there. Exeris, but people shouldn't say that you could be mighty something from hektish without a pinyon. But we don't want this to come at the expense of the malva, because the malva has to add a dinar. So what he does is he adds it to the debt. Until now, if the debt was, let's say, 100 dinarim, so now the debt will be 101 dinarim, and then he collects. He's paid to the field, and he collects the field from hektish. So keep ligi. So then, where is the machlekes Abaye v'Rava? What's the nafkamina if it's mikan al abo goyve or it's the mafreyo goyve? The nafkamina is the zavin malva, the kodesh malva, the opposite way. Before the collection, somewhere between the beginning of the loan and the time of the collection, the malva decided to sell this field that he's eventually going to collect to somebody else, or he was makdish the field. So, does it take effect or does it not take effect? Abaye Amar Mafreyu Gaiva. Abaye says that when he's Gaiva eventually, when he collects eventually, it works l'mafreya, and therefore even the matazimim v'leipare. So if eventually it happened that the loan became due and the leiva didn't pay the loan, and therefore the malva collected from this karka or this whatever it was, igloi milsa l'mafreya. So that makes it that l'mafreya the mekar b'rishusei havakoy, that the entire time from the beginning of the loan, this field, this item was already in the rishus of the malva, and therefore at the time that the malva was makdashit, was meicherit, retroactively it was his the whole time. It was his to be makdashit, it was his to be meicher.
Yeah, but let's say now today he goes and finally pays him on the due date.
No, so this is only if it eventually what goes to collection. No. Now that it goes to collection, that's why it's retroactive. Now that it goes to collection, retroactively was mine the whole time. But Enoch and Ami, if it doesn't go to collection,
it? When did he sell it?
He sold it before.
Before.
But so now it's contingent. As of now, the doesn't know that he has it. But if eventually it will go to collection, so then we'll know retroactively that it was the malvis, and then retroactively the sale will be a good sale. Enoch and Ami, if it never goes to collection, so then it's not a good sale, and the loiva keeps it.
But he still should have sold his rights. I mean, he had a lien on the property regardless.
Right.
Even according to Rabbi.
Yeah. Right.
So if he sold all his rights in the property, and the minute he collects it, his right, meaning the lien, converted to ownership now.
But selling a lien is a lot harder than selling a piece of carpet, because how do you make a kinyan on a lien? La locha. You could sell a chayiv, and then a chanami. Now he's the owner of the chayiv. If you do it properly, so now he's the owner of the chayiv, and then the other guy will be able to collect the chayiv. But if you want to directly sell the lien on the property, there's no way. There's no communion on that. La halacha.
Right.
But we're talking about a case that he sold it. Like he sold it with a regular kinyanim as if he sold a piece of karka. So if you hold him a regular grave, it was my karka, so I could sell it as a piece of karka.
He makes a nice kinyan.
Yeah, cast of khalip and whatever kinyan that you make on karka.
And for hektish, this is enough to be considered in your shus.
And again, the same
even
thing for hektish.
Second,
eventually when he's going to default on the loan and it's going to go to the collection, so then retroactively it's going to become hektish. In the meantime, it will be in the air hanging, but eventually when it goes to collection, it will be retroactively hektish.
Here you would also have to be maisa pedina or no?
No, in this case you can't be paid there because it belongs to hektish.
I'm saying if he did pay the chayv.
Oh, the loiva.
The loiva did pay the chayv.
If the loiva, because then it doesn't even look like hektish, because then it never became the malva. Over here, it was the loiva's, and it looks like a real hektish, and now the malva's taking it because he's collecting a lien. Mm-hmm. Over here, it's the other way around. The malva was makdish something that was never his.
Right,
it's like me being makdish your field. So Abai Amar L'Mafrei who gave Kivin de Matazini, since the loan became due, V'loi Pare, and it wasn't paid. And therefore, he had a right to collect from the mashkin, from the thing that he had a shibud on. Igloy nosu mafreya. So now it comes out the mafreya to mikar b'shusay avakoy that it was his from the beginning. V'shapra after shabazamin. And therefore, the hektish that the malva made, or the sale that the malva made, was a valid sale, a valid hektish. Rav Amar mikar labo ogeve. No, all collections are only mikar labo. And therefore, kiven the and why is that? Because kiven the idu havalei zuze, since at any point in time, if lekeh has money, have a mesalak ubezuze, right? It wasn't going to go to collection until the last minute that he decided not to have money. Until then, if he would have came along with money, he would have been able to pay the malva off with money and keep the field. So ishtakach tahashta kakoni. So the terrorist is the kinyan is only now at the last moment when the loiva decided to default. So therefore, the hektish that the malva made, or the mechira that the malva made, is not valid. Says the Gemara, "Umi amar Rava hachi." Is that so that Rava said that a gevira is only mekana labo and not lamafreya? Iva amar Rami Bar Chama. Didn't Rami Bar Chama say, "Ruvain shemachar sada l'shemin b'achrais"? Ruvain sells a field to Shimon, and like most sales of karka, he takes a chrayis, that if it's taken away from me, if let's say my bal chayv takes it from you because of the lien, so I guarantee the field that I'll reimburse you for the loss that my bal chayv took it away from you. V'zakon alav milva. Now it happens to be that at the time Shimon bought it on credit; he didn't pay for it yet. So there's two separate chayvus over here. One chayv that Reuven has to Shimon of a chrayis. Not a guaranteed chayv, but at least if it eventually gets taken from him, he'll owe Shimon the money to replace the karka. And there's a choiv from Shimon to Reuven as well, because Shimon never paid, as of yet, for the karka. He bought it on credit. Now the story was, Umeis Reuven. Reuven happened to die. V'asa bal choiv de Reuven, now somebody, who a creditor of Reuven, came. V'taref le mishimon, and collected the field from Shimon, because I have a lien on it, I have a right to take it. So now, Shimon wants to collect the achrayis from Reuven, but Reuven's not around anymore, only Reuven's Yisayim are around. So Shimon didn't want to lose the karka and have to deal with the Yisayim, because if he's going to deal with the Yisayim, whatever it is, or maybe he just liked that piece of karka. So instead, what Shimon did was, he said on his own, I'd rather lose the cash and get the cash from the Yisraelim than lose the piece of karka. So he paid the malva, whatever money the malva was owed, and he said, you know, take the money and let me keep the karka. So v'azeh Shimon upaisi v'zuzeh. So Shimon went and was mefayis. He paid off the malva with money. So dinahu, the halacha is, says Rami Rachama, the Asa b'nei Reuven, so now the children, the Yisayim of Reuven, could come to Amalei the Shimon and say to Shimon, Anan mitalti shavach avuch gabon. Our father only left us over metaltalin. I mean, this was the only piece of karka that we ever had. We don't have any other karka. Now the halacha is, umetaltali yasmi the balkoiv the mishtabi. When a balkoiv comes to collect from Yisayim, he can only collect karka. He cannot collect from cash of Yisayim, and he cannot collect from metaltalin of Yisayim. So as far as we're concerned, we didn't owe the Baal Chayiv money. So and so now that you decided to pay the debt for us, we don't owe you the money for that which you laid out the money. And therefore, as far as Achrayas is concerned, we have nothing to pay you. As far as the money that you laid out, we have nothing to pay you, and it's your loss. So now Shimon is out the money that he paid to the Malva, and he still owes the money to the Bnei Yisraelim for the debt that he has, that he bought the land originally on credit. That's what Rami Bar Chama said. V'amar Rava, and that Rava said back, no. Ipikeach Shimon, if Shimon's smart, and Shimon wants to not lose, end up paying twice, what should he do? Maglilu Ara. He has a debt to the Yisraelim now, because he bought the land on credit. He could pay that debt with karka.
He knew already that there was a prior standard on the karka.
Right.
Malva comes down to collect, he already knew this, he should research to find out if there were any outstanding debts.
Okay, so right, so like anybody who buys a bachrayas, he took the risk, you're right.
Right, so if he took the risk, then if he's out twice, that's his problem.
No, Anachanami, we're not... You're right. A normal guy who buys something by price, he's hoping that the guy will pay back, but you're right, he's taking the risk. You're right. But we're not saying that the Yisraelim did anything wrong. That's the fact, that Shimon ends up losing twice. Yeah. Right. But says Rava, I have an Eitzah for Shimon. If Shimon's smart, what he should do is Ma'abu Le'ara. He should give to the Yisraelim, he should pay the Yisraelim the debt that he owes to the Yisraelim that he bought the karka on credit. He should pay them instead of with cash, he should pay them with karka. And now, when he comes to collect the achrayas from the Yisraelim, he could, like we said before, you can't collect metaltim from Yisraelim, but you can collect karka from Yisraelim. So that's exactly why we're going to get back to the Mafreyo Goyva, Mikad La'abo Goyva. If you owe the Mafreyo Goyva, that means it was Reuven's the whole time, retroactively.
No, because it was not designated to pay Reuven that car.
All my karkois that I have, if I have a debt to Reuven, I have a shibud to Reuven.
From the date of the original debt.
From the date of the original debt. That's normally how we make a chrayas. It doesn't have to be designated. Designated is a higher level of chrayas, but normally there is a shibud on all my karka.
To the point that we take from
So if Shimon's smart, what he should do is, he should pay off the money that he owes the Yisraelim with karka. Now the Yisraelim are sitting on karka. Now I can collect the achrayis, which the Yisraelim owe me, from the same karka that I just gave him a minute ago.
But if you hold on achrayu gaiva, then shouldn't this property really belong to the other Baal Chayiv?
The other Baal Chayiv didn't collect karka. He collected money.
I know, but I'm saying
I paid him off with cash.
At the time of the death, it was his.
At the time of death, it was Reuven's.
No.
Because Reuven is the one who collected the karka. The Baal Chayiv of Reuven collected cash. Shimon bought the karka from Reuven.
Right. Shimon bought the karka.
And he's paying it to Reuven.
This Baal Chayiv who came in after Reuven died.
That Baal Chayiv didn't.
He wanted to collect.
He wanted to collect karka, but he did. But Shimon paid him off with cash.
Okay, but wouldn't that be a sale then? If you're saying Lamafreyu Gaiva, then it's a sale now.
It's not a sale because like we spoke about before, Lamafreyu Gaiva is only if the Baal Chayiv eventually collects the karka. If he collects money, so then Lamafrey he never bought the karka.
Would you say that when he died?
No.
The karka would automatically become his?
No, because he doesn't automatically collect the karka. If the Yisraelim could still pay him on cash. You can't force the Yisraelim to pay cash. They always have the option of paying. Only Lamafrey only if he eventually collects the karka.
Shimon is the one that takes life. Shimon is the one that takes life. Shimon might be willing to take, but if you say Lamafrey who gave it is like an automatic thing, that means it's his.
It's only
now you want to go pay him with money, you're buying it.
He gets it, it was his.
It's only his once he defaults. That's why it's the Mafreya. That's why it's the Mafreya. Otherwise, it wouldn't be the Mafreya. It would be from day one. It's only Mafreya's once he defaults, then it kicks in.
That is not a default.
Right. That is not a default. Right. Yeah. Because he eventually paid him off. Right. It's not a guarantee that he's going to collect the karka. He could still get paid off. Right. Yeah.
But he would have said, no, I want the karka.
Right. Then the Nechanami would be the Baal Chayiv of Mafreya. But that wasn't the case. Okay, so again, Shimon could return the karka to the Yisraelim and then recollect the karka because now the Yisraelim have karka. How do you know you can collect karka from Yisraelim? Either Yisraelim didn't have it at the time of their father's death. Teretz is Amar Reb Nachman, because Reb Nachman said Yisraelim shegavu karka, Yisraelim that collected karka b'chayvus avim for a debt that was owed to their father. So now someone who is a creditor of their father could go and collect that piece of karka from them because this debt karka really essentially belonged to the father and therefore have a right to collect from that karka. So Bishlam, if you say that the collections work on Afreya, so then all of this makes sense. Amakadulachi, for this reason, you can go and collect it from them. Because now that the Yisraelim collected it, it works on the Afreya as if the father had it the whole time before he died. So now the Baal Chayiv can go and collect from there. But if you're going to only say So why could the creditor collect from this piece of karka that Yisraelim got after the father died? So the Reuven never owned it. Reuven's Yisraelim owned it because they only own the mikan laba. So it's the Yisraelim's karka. It's not the father's karka. If the Yisraelim took their own cash and bought karka, would it be meshubah to the Baal Chayiv of their father? Or rather not. So Rava Lashitasa, Rava was the one who said it. So Rava Lashitasa, who holds Mekan al-Abahu Gaiva, how does this whole mechanism work? So the Gemara answers, Shaini Hasam, over there is different. Meaning, we thought that the only way you can collect from Reuven is if it one time became Reuven, and the only way it could become Reuven is if it worked Lemafreya retroactively. That's not true. The reason why I can collect from it is even if it never became Reuven. Shaini Hasam, the Amal Lahu, because you could say the same way that your father had a lien on this piece of karka, so the Baal Chayiv of your father also has a lien on the karka. Midir Reb Nosson from Reb Nosson. Before we see Reb Nosson inside, there's a famous thing called Shibud Reb Nosson. If Reuven owes Shimon and Shimon owes Levi, so then we could just say Levi can go directly to Reuven and collect from Reuven. So over here, that means any Shibud that Shimon has on Reuven, Levi has on Reuven. So even if it never became Shimon's, Reuven still has a shibud on it. So in our case, let's first take Reb Nachman's case, it is simpler. So somebody owed money to Reuven, Reuven had a shibud on that piece of karka. Reuven died. Now, after Reuven died, his kids collected that piece of karka. So the Baal Chayv of Reuven says, I have a shibud on that land from originally, from when your father was still alive. So I have a right to collect that piece of karka. So over here, it's more interesting. The piece of karka that Shimon has, he's both owed money from Reuven, and at the same time, he owes money to Reuven. So he has a shibud on himself, technically. Right, because because what happened was, in our case, he bought a piece of karka on credit, so he owes money to Reuven.
Right.
But Reuven has a chayas to him, so Reuven has this contingent loan back to Shimon. So this money, this field is meshubed to Reuven, which in turn is meshubed to the Reuven's creditor, who is Shimon, who has a chayas on Reuven. Why not? You have a chayas to me. You have, not because of the fact that I laid out the money, because you have a chayas to me.
What chayas?
When he sold it originally, he guaranteed the sale. He sold it with a chayas that if it gets taken away, I'll reimburse you.
Now let's say Shimon did not own this land that he's using now. He didn't own it at the time of the original sale.
So then it might be worse.
And this doesn't work.
But yeah, then it wouldn't work. But this is Pasha's. The case is the very field that he bought from Reuven. That is the field that he's using to pay.
That field was taken already. He's using another field.
No, he paid it. He paid off the loiva with money. That field was never taken from him.
He used the same land.
Yeah,
I thought he'd be able to.
Yeah.
So this goes back forever. It's going back generations.
Yeah.
So this has nothing to do with that other Ba'afai. This is just between Reuven and Shimon.
Right.
He's got a shibud to him, he's got a shibud to him.
Correct.
Therefore,
I have a shibud on myself. That's what ends up happening. Right, Midir Reb Nosson. This is called the shibud of Reb Nosson. Titania, Reb Nosson, Aymer, Minayim Lenoshi B'chaver Mona. If Reuven owes Shimon a Mona, B'chaver B'chaver, and then Shimon in turn owns Levi a Mona, Shemaitziyam is there that we take it out from guy A, Venosan Lazan, and give it straight to guy C. How do you know you could do that? Tamalayim, Venosan Asher Oshamloy. This is in the parish of Asham Gzelis. So it says, you give it to Asher Oshamloy, to the one who the principal belongs to. So the Gemara's Medaik elsewhere, it speaks it out more clear. It doesn't say give it to the person that you took it from. It says give it to the one who the principal belongs to. Because, again, over here, if A owes B and B owes C, so even though you took it from B, but since it eventually belongs to C, so give it straight to C. So enachanami lemaskono, enachanami mikal abo goive, so it's not pshat that the field belonged to Reuven, it never belonged to Reuven, but sevkal seif, because you have a shibud on it from beforehand, you still have a right to collect from it. So Shimon says, I have a right to collect for myself. Tanan. Now, the Gemara goes to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, "Nachli shehilves Yisrael alchemtzai." If let's say a guy lent a Jew money, and he takes collateral the chometz of the Jew, achar Pesach muter bana. So after Pesach, that chometz is muter bana. Now, why? L'chayr it's a Jew's chometz. So says the Gemara, "Iyam Bishlam l'mafreyu goyve." So Bishlam, if you hold like a baye, that every collection is l'mafreya. So Amatul Ha'achi, so when the Yid defaulted on the loan, and the guy collected the chametz, it comes out, Mutar Ba'anah, because l'mafrei this chametz was the guy's retroactively, and if that's the case, it's the guy's chametz, Shavu'ala Pesach, so it's Mutar. So we understand our Mishnah. Eli Amr Mikan Labo, but if you say like Rava, that the collection is only Mikan Labo, Amai Mutar Ba'anah, so then why is the chametz Mutar Ba'anah, because the Yisrael have a koi, calls man that he didn't default on the loan, that the guy didn't actually collect the chametz, even though it's already a collateral for the loan, who cares? When the guy is eventually going to collect it, it's only going to be Mikan Labo, and on Pesach, the chametz belong to the Yid. If the chametz belong to the Yid, so it should be chametz Shavu'ala Pesach, it should be also Bana. So my answer is, Hakam Mayaskinon Kisharhina Etzloi. Not only wasn't Meshubid to the guy, but he actually handed it over to the guy. And in the case that he actually handed it over to the guy, so then lahalacha is considered already in the guy's rishus, and that's why it doesn't become a sabana. But enachanam, if it was sitting in the Jew's field or the Jew's house, even if there was a lien on it to the guy, and he eventually defaulted and the guy collected the lien, that enachanam according to Rav, that's not going to help.
So no lien, it's enough to give it to the guy to put it in his house?
If it's Ahinei Atzlai.
No, forget, there's no loan about it. I just take
my... No, because then he's a Shimer for me. It's only working now because I gave it to him. No, I gave it to him because I owe him money. So even though Givia works Mikan Olava, but that's the nature of a Mashkin, that if he's holding onto the Mashkin, it's already in his Rishos.
Even though it's not going to be Mafreya.
Even though he doesn't own it Mafreya, but it's already in his Rishos, which is enough for Chometz.
There's some distinction between...
Right. I mean,
something that has a Chayv on it and something that doesn't.
Correct. Because Chometz, we don't look 100% at ownership, we look at whose Rishos it's in. Once it's a mashkin, we're going to get a little more into it in a minute. But once it's a mashkin and it's in his rishus, so that would be enough as far as Bayer or Bayer Motz is concerned. You mean as far as a chrayis happens?
Right.
So usually when you hold a mashkin, it's in the chrayis of the malve, the one who's holding the mashkin.
So that
proves this. That proves that he has that it's in his rishus somewhat.
According to the
Ma'ariv.
So, but that wouldn't be enough to take it out of the Jews. That wouldn't be enough not to be either, right?
I'm not sure. The other way we know, if a Jew is have a Christ on the Geis Chometz, we had that earlier, that the Jew is either. I don't know what's the opposite way, but we see a Christ does.
According to Abai, right, that it's the Mafreya,
right,
who goes on. That means that when I went ahead and I took the loan and he's got the chametz,
right?
That means that right now Pesach comes,
right.
It's his, and therefore, right? Does that mean that if I pay the chayv now,
you're gonna mess yourself up? So if you're smart, default and let him collect the chametz.
Mm-hmm. But the chametz is worthless to me.
Right. A the chametz is worthless, and second, you're gonna get a laugh.
Right.
This week won't
be
enough.
You're going to be paying back the loan.
Yeah.
You're going to be over.
Yeah. Right. Says the Gemara Leima Ketanai. Let's say that this Machlokes Havaya Rav is a Machlokes Tanai. Yisrael Shilv Lenachri Yalchem. So Yisrael lends money to a guy. And the chametz of the guy, Achar Pesach, Einei Over Mishum, Einei Over. So says the Tanakama, even though it was over love Pesach, he's not over, which is mashma, the guy still, the chametz still belongs to the borrower, the guy, and not the yid who's the malveh. Mishum Remeir Amru, in the name of Remeir, they said, over. They're no, faker, it's considered like the Jew's chametz, and the Jew is over. So my lab, v'hakabifliki. So isn't this the machlokes? The marasav and the mafreyu goyve. Remeir holds the mafreyu goyve, and therefore comes out the mafreya, it was the Jew's chametz on Pesach. Whereas the Tanakam holds Mekan Labo Goyve, like Rava, and therefore it was the Goy's Chametz over Pesach. Says the Marva Tizbra, you think that's Pshat in the Machlokes? Ema Seifa. Let's say the Seifa. Avo Nachri, Shehil the Yisrael Al Chem Tzoy. Let's say the opposite. When the Goy loaned the money to the Jew and took the Jew's Chametz on collateral, so then, La'achra Pesach, Tivya Kol Over. Everybody agrees after Pesach that. It's Chametz Shal Avra of Lo Pesach. Now, if the Machloikas is the Mafreyo Gover Makan Abok Gover, like we explained the ratio, so then Ha Ipchami Boile, then the Sefer should be the exact opposite of the ratio. L'manda Amar Hasam any other. If you held in the ratio Makan Abok Gover, and therefore when you took the Goy's Chametz as collateral, you're not Over. So Hacha Over. So over here, the opposite. When the Goy took the Yitz Chametz as collateral, you should be over, because it's still the Yitz on Pesach. And Lamanda Marhasam over, and according to the Shita of Remeir, who said in the ratio, when the Jew took the Goy's Chametz, he is over because Lamafreya will go over. So Hacha Einei over. So over here, that the Goy took the Jew's Chametz, so Lamafreya, it's not the Jews, and you should not be over. So that the Seifa should, when the Goy took the Jew's Chametz as a Mashkin, should be the exact opposite of the ratio. So why are we saying in the Seifa that everybody agrees that it's Chametz over Allah for Pesach?
We're assuming this is the fault.
We're assuming over here that he defaulted, because if he didn't default, then there's no chiluk between a yid and a guy and or anything. Ella must be hakam mayaskinan kigun sharhenu atzlay. Must be the case is that you already handed it over. Not only was it meshulbin and it wasn't eventually collected, but it was actually handed over before Pesach. Vikamiflagi, and what's the machlekes? The Rabbi Yitzchak. in Rabbi Yitzchak's halacha. The Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, because Rabbi Yitzchak says, "Minayin lebal choyv shekoyne mashkin." How do you know that la halacha, when a bal choyv collects takes a mashkin, he has a real kinyan in the mashkin? It's not stam that he's just holding on to it, but he actually has a kinyan in the mashkin. Shenemar, because it says in the pasuk, right, there's a halacha called hashavas ha'avoit, which means to say, when a person takes a mashkin from someone who's poor, and he needs the mashkin, so there's a halacha that you're supposed to return the mashkin to him every day. If it's a day item, you return it to him by day. Let's say it's a tool that he uses to work, so you give it back to him every day in the morning, and then you pick it up back from him again in the evening when he doesn't need it anymore. And fakert, if it's a night item, let's say a pillow, a blanket, something like that, so you hold it by day and you give it back to him every night. That's a mitzvah in the Torah called Hashavas Ha'avoit. Now it says over there in the psukim of Hashavas Ha'avoit, ulechati etzdaka, for you it will be considered as if you're giving him tzedaka by doing this mitzvah of Hashavas Ha'avoit. Says Rabbi Yitzchak, im eina kaina, if it's not really mine, I'm really giving him back his thing. Im eina kaina mashkin, so tzedaka manayin. So why am I doing tzedaka? What am I giving him? It's his thing essentially that he's taking back. But it's his usage anyway. The Torah just is not giving me a right to take a mashkin. I'm not giving him stuff.
I have a right. I just have to go give it back every
night. Okay, but Rabbi Yitzchak bothered that. That's not called stuck. Stuck sounds like I'm giving something of mine to him. I'm not just stopping him from using his thing. So therefore, says Rabbi Yitzchak, mikan lebalchayv shekayne mashkin. Torah says no. When I'm given a mashkin, I really have a kinyan in it. I have rights to hold them. I actually have an ownership in the mashkin, so not 100% ownership, but at least enough to hold it for a collection, to hold it to force him to pay his chayv. And memela, by me giving it back to him, I'm allowing him something to use that I have a kinyan in it. I have rights to stop him from using. And therefore, that's why it's taka considered stuck. So coming back to us, Tanakama Savar, says the Tanakama, Hanimili, when do we say that a Baal Chayv is kind of the mashkin Yisrael mi Yisrael? When a Yisrael takes a mashkin from Yisrael.
When is he kind of? Right now?
This is nothing to do with Gviya. This is even if he doesn't collect. This is just because it's a mashkin. I have a kinyan in it.
Even if eventually
he's not going to get paid in cash. Mm-hmm. At the Lamaisa, as long as I was holding it as a mashkin, I had rights in it, and therefore,
So we had two different shitas before. Now this is a third. We had either mekanel lahava or only lahava, right? And now we're saying
So our machlokes of mekanel lahava and lafreya is the gabi title. I mean, outright ownership to be able to sell it, right? This guy who owns a mashkin can't sell it. He just has rights in it, right? It's like any other guy who has rights in someone else's field. Mm-hmm. If let's say it's your field and you give me the rights on it to walk through, you sell me those rights, right? Okay. So I can't buy and sell, but I have some type of kinyan in there.
That's not price. That's what I price.
Maybe, okay.
This is what? This is a higher level than a price?
No,
we know if you're using something for collateral, you have achrayas in it. There's rules associated with
it. But that lav dafka bias, that just means a lien just means I eventually could collect it. Over here, it means I have a bias in it right now. I could stop him from using it. To the point that the Torah says I'm doing stucco by giving it to him.
But you can't use it yourself.
Oh, no, you cannot use a mashkin yourself. Right, So again, so that which the Torah says that the mashkin belongs to him, and this again, regardless whether he defaults or not, but it's a kinyan in it, at least to the level of a mashkin. It's not title, but at least to the level that it's he's kind of, that it's his mashkin. Says the Tanakama, Hanimi Yisrael Yisrael. That's only when the Yisrael is holding a mashkin from a Yisrael. Who the Karina Bei Lachot Yitzchak? Because that's what the pasuk of Lachot Yitzchak is referring to when one Jew has a mashkin from another Jew, because that's when he's mechuyev to give it back to him every day or every night, whenever, depending on what the item is. But if Yisrael's holding a mashkin from a guy like Kani, we don't see anywhere that he's kaina, and therefore, says the Tanakhama, that the mashkin that he's holding from the guy is still the guy's mashkin. It's still the guy's chametz. Rameir says it's the Jew's chametz, is because he has a kal v'chomer. Yisrael Yisrael Kani, if when Yisrael takes a mashkin from another Yisrael, so the malva gets a bilus in the mashkin, so Yisrael Minachri like Kolshkin, so for sure it's easier to be kind of guy's money than a Jew's money. Mm-hmm. So Kolshkin, if I take a mashkin from the Jew, I should get a bilus in it. And that's why Rameir said, Oivrelov, nothing to do with Lamafreya Ugoiva, because even if it's not Goiva Lamafreya, and even if, according to this, even if he never defaults, but the mere fact that I have a Kenyan, that it's at least a Mashkin, that's enough to be over by Yerubayim Matzah.
And even though it's not Moshos.
The Gemara didn't fall off over here, you know, let's say it's sitting by him, but sitting by him by itself wouldn't be enough if he doesn't own it. It's sitting by him, and he has a Kenyan in it, so now he's going to be over.
When the guy lends the Jew money into this chametz, so that's all the ratio.
But the sefer, the opposite, when the guy lends the Jew money and takes the Jew's chametz as a mashkin, so then achra pesach divya kol over. Everybody agrees that that after Pesach is over, that's considered chametz shavah lama pesach. Why? Because Hasam Vadi Nachri Misro Loikoni. Because that's for sure, a guy takes a mashkin from a Jew, that for sure we don't have Rabbi Yitzchak's din that the Baal Chayv is kind of the mashkin. So as far as defaulting is concerned, we're going like Rava, it's Mekan Rabo Ogev. So it wasn't the guy's retroactively. Elamai, he had a Kenyan in it, Mitzad, this din of Baal Chayv going to mashkin. There's no din of Baal Chayv going to mashkin when the guy is holding a mashkin of a Jew.
So this
whole Gemara is only going like Abai. Like Rava. And Akhami, like Abai is going to have to say a new pshat. The Rishonim discuss how Abai is going to learn. The Chara, the Maskara, it should only work like Rava and not like Abai.
The way we're explaining.
Yeah, 100%. So how's Abai going to explain the, Reisha and the Seifa? He's going to have to say it right. So the Rishonim asked this kasha. The Tosis discussed it. All the Rishonim. Abai is going to have to say a whole new pshat in the Brisa.
But who said that this ownership is not total ownership?
Correct.
Who says that's enough to be owned by Yerubayim? I mean, who decided which level of ownership,
again, we know that you don't need full ownership because we already know that Achrayas is enough. So the Gemara holds in Svara, right, the Gemara holds in Svara, if you're holding it in your Rishus, and you have this level of ownership in it, it's no less than having Achrayas on it. Tanan. Our Mishnah says, "Nachash Yehovah Yisrael al Chemtzoi, Achar Pesach Muter Bano." So our Mishnah said not like this brisa. Our Mishnah said that when a guy loans a Jew money and he's holding the money of a Jew, the mashkin of the Jew, so then the mashkin is Muter Bano because it's the guy's over Pesach. Now, according to what we just said a moment ago, even if you're going to say that the Jew already handed the mashkin over to the guy, and the guy is, and the mashkin sitting in the guy's rishus, didn't we just get finished saying Nachri Mishra Leikoni? It's not sufficient. He doesn't have a kinyan in it. So there's a steer between the mission and the brisa. Once we have the brisa that there's no Rebbe Yitzchak's din that a guy is not kind of the mashkin of a Jew. So how do you explain our Mishnah? Even if the guy took a mashkin from a Jew and it's sitting in his rishus over Pesach, it should be the Jew's chametz. It should be also bana. How did the Mishnah say it's not also bana? Says the Gemara Lekasha, Hadam leMashav, Hadlo Yamel leMashav. We're only talking about minastam. How does collection work? But if you hand over a mashkin and you explicitly say that if I default, this should be yours, may actually from now, meaning it should be yours retroactively. So if you spoke it out, it's no worse than any other tanai. Of course, it's going to work. By default, if you don't speak anything out, says Rav that a collection is mikan labo. But if you speak out that if I'm not going to pay you, then you should own it me'akshav. So then whatever you spoke out. So the Mishnah is talking about that. Not only did you hand it over to the guy, but you beferish told the guy that if I default, it should be yours me'akshav. So in that case, anachanam, if he defaults, it comes out the mafreya that it wasn't the guy, that it wasn't the Jew's chametz, it was the guy's chametz over Pesach. The brisa that says if the chametz is sitting, the mashkin is sitting by the guy, it's still called the Jew's and it's chametz over Pesach is because he didn't speak out me'achshav.
So he would not be able to sell this chametz, right? When he goes to sell his chametz.
Right, he's got. Right. Yeah, I was thinking about that. He's very stuck now because he can't destroy the chametz, he can't sell the chametz. So how is he going to get rid of it? Right, he's going to have to deal with that guy.
He's going to have to, but
what should he do with Chatchila? Meaning he should go to his malva and tell him, I have a problem. I have to get rid of this chametz. And he should have to, that's his only aid to the chayr.
So I was just thinking now, so that's a grocery store, it's a jewel.
Right.
Jewish homes.
Right.
They buy stuff on credit.
Right.
So what status does that have?
But you have to, two problems. Number one is the food that they bought on credit, bechlal collateral, or they're not going to go after the company. If they don't pay their distributor, the distributor is not going off after the merchandise. They're going after their collections, right, after the bank accounts, after their other assets. So it's not going to help these assets I technically own. And also, even again, like we said many times, our whole sukkah is only if it eventually goes to collections. Since Jewel is not doing that, so since they eventually paid it, the problem is the whole time it's Jewel's. There is no Lemafre over here because it never defaulted.
Why is it not just to say, oh, we see Lemafre before you go to Mashmud Yulet?
Right, now that we got to this Maskana, be smart and speak out Me'akshav.
Right, no, that's fine.
Yeah, it's a simple answer.
Yeah, but it only
helps if you default, though, right?
Only if you default. If you didn't default, then it was yours all along. But you can't sell it because you gave it as Mashmud Yulet.
Right. It only helps if you're willing to take a credit hit, basically.
Yeah, so you're going to default on the loan.
Yeah.
And then there's also
Chol
Hashem.
Yeah, whatever's associated. Yeah. Well, where do we get this concept? Where do we see this? The Shonen Ben Hechad Amr Me'ashav Ben Hechad Oli Amr Me'ashav, that we're machalik between if you said Me'ashav or not. The Tanya, Nochri Shehirin Pas Porni, a Nochri that took as a Mashkin Pas Porni. Porni was a very big oven that the bakers used to use in those days. So that bread was much more choshev. It looks much more similar to our bread as opposed to the regular bread that they had then, which was just slapped on the side of a small little oven, and it didn't have such a nice shape to it or this and that. So it really makes no difference to Allah what type of bread was the mashkin. It just Rashi says it's an orcha demosa that you give a choshev a piece of bread as a mashkin, not a cheap piece of bread as a mashkin. But bottom line is, Anachri took pas as a mashkin, they gave pas as a mashkin to Israel. Any over. Because it's the goods. V'imamalai higatich. However, if he says higatich, it should be yours, then over. So the Gemara says, Maishna Reisha Maishna Seifa, Elalav Shema Min HaMazbi, because Shani Hechad Amalai Ma'ashav, but Hechad Amalai Ma'ashav, that when he says higatich, says Rashi, it didn't mean just plain higatich, that it should be yours, because that doesn't help. It must mean that he said that it should be yours, Me'akshav. If eventually I don't pay, it should be yours, me'achshav. And then, so that's good for the difference between the Reish and the Seifa. If he didn't say me'achshav, so then it was the guy's over Pesach, so then it's mutter. If he said that it should be yours, me'achshav, so then it was comes out that it was a Jew's limafreya from the beginning of the Pesach. And if that's the case, then it's takos, like the Seifa says. Shema mina. Tarabon. Chanusha Yisrael, if let's say you have a Jewish store, Umalaisha Yisrael, merchandise in the store is also Jewish. And the workers that are there are Goyisha workers, Nechnasim Hashem, and even though they go in and out of there during Pesach, Chometz Shenim Shesham Acha Pesach, if Chometz is found there after Pesach, also Bana, because we assume that the Chometz belongs to the Balachanus and the one who owns the store itself and the merchandise, and not to, that it belongs to the workers, and therefore it's assumed to be the Chometz of a Jew that was Avra Lava Pesach. And kol shekhen, it's also, if it's also about, no, kol shekhen, it's also about achila. But the opposite, chanusha nachri, if it was a goyish store, malayisha nachri, and again, the merchandise there is goyisha merchandise. Upayli Yisrael, nachlas of Yehetzim Hashem, so even if there's Jewish workers that are there, so chometz shenim shesham, if chometz was found there at Achar Pesach, mutter b'achila, so even though it comes out that it was chometz shavah of Pesach, but it's assumed that the chometz is chometz of a goy that was over of Pesach, therefore it's mutter even to be eaten. Says the next Mishnah, Chometz shenafel olav mapilus. Let's say you had chometz, you know that there was chometz there, and a wall collapsed on top of it. So now it's under a pile of rubble. So arei kemavur, you have no chiyuv to be mavar such chometz. It's as if it's already destroyed. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, "Kol she'en hakelav yochel achas lechapis acharav." As long as the dog can't search after it, meaning it has to be buried deep enough into the pile that a dog can't sniff it out and take it. But if a dog could still sniff it out and take it, it's not considered buried under yet, and he would have a chiyuv to be mevarech. It's lechayr. It's mashma to machlokes that the Tanna Kama says regardless.
Even if the kelav can dig up some rocks and excess, it's not a problem.
Right. That's what it seems. So Amar of Chista, v'tzar shi'evatel, believe it. Now, both according to Tanakam, and according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, you have to be mevatel it. Because you still own the chametz. It's just this chiv, the rabbanon, that we don't allow you to be samech on the bittul, we force you to actually be mevarer the chametz because we're afraid of shem yavod achle or whatever other reasons. So once it's under a pile of rubble, according to Tanakhama Bechlau, and according to Shimon Gamliel, at least once it's under a pile deep enough that it's in a kelev yachabes acharav, there's no more chashash of shem yavod achle, and therefore we say that it's enough to be just be mevatel it, and you're not mechuyev to be mevarer. Tana, the Brisa explains, kama chafis is a kelev, how deep down does it have to be in order that the kelev cannot find it anymore? Shleisha tefachim. It has to be under three tefachim of rubble. Amalei Rav Acha b'Rei Rav Yosef Rav Ashi. Rav Acha b'Rei Rav Yosef asked the Rav Ashi, Hadamar Shmuel, that which Shmuel said, Ksofim enam shmira v'karka. The only way to properly be a shomer kesef, a person was makabel to be a shomer on money, the only way to properly watch it is by burying it into the ground, because if you put it anywhere in his house, it's not properly washed, it can get stolen there. So maybe in Shlesha Tvachim, does the same halacha apply that it has to be buried at least three Tvachim into the ground? Or maybe not. So he said, no, there's a big difference. Our Mishnah has to be at least three Tvachim deep in Mishim Recha, because he can smell it. It's food. So until it's three Tvachim deep, he'll know to dig there, and therefore it's the Yachol HaKapis Acharov. So be in Shlesha Tvachim. Hacha Masha ain't get over there when you're burying money in the ground. Money doesn't have a smell. So Mishum Chsuyu Me'enahu. All it has to be is that it should be buried from the eye that the Ganovim can't find it. V'loi Ba'i Shlesha. So three, there's no reason that it has to be three Tvachim deep. V'kama. So how deep does it have to be? Amar Rav Bar Papa Misichra. So Rav Bar Papa from Sichra said, Tevach, it's sufficient to be one Tevach deep.
So why do you have to bury it if the whole idea is just to conceal it? Then just
the way their houses were in those days, and this, how secure they were in those days, Chazal held that Ganavim will search through a house and this and that, and they expect money to be in all different nooks and crannies. There's no safe place in the house to put kesef, and the only way to properly be shomer kesef is to put it in the ground, because otherwise,
so why would I just check the first tefach of the ground?
Because no one's going to dig up a whole yard. If it takes too long, he's going to get seen, and you don't know which where to dig. Mistama nowadays that we have alarm systems and we have locks and keys and a lot of better things. This is much different than Alaka. What?
Didn't learn this stuff, right?
What do you mean? When it comes to making their money, you know, all these Ganavim and all these cheats, they know all the halachas that they need to know. Okay, says the next Mishnah. Ha'oichel Tshumas Chametz for Pesach. So, introduction, before we get to the Mishnah, when a person eats Tshumah B'Shagig any day of the year, forget about Chametz. So the halacha is, if a Zar, if a non-Kayan eats Tshumah, so if he eats it, B'Mezid, so he's Chayiv Misa, like for eating the Tshumah, but as far as the Kayan is concerned, it's regular Niskei Mammon, as like I would eat anything else from you. However, if he ate it B'Shagig, then there's a Gzeres HaKosuv that he pays back a Karen and a Chaimish. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, he doesn't pay back a Karen and a Chaimish cash. He pays back a Karen and a Chaimish of produce. And that produce, the Gzeres HaKosuv, becomes Truma, becomes a replacement for the Truma. Mm-hmm. So let's say, so we're going to see in the Gemara, it doesn't have to be necessarily the same produce. But let's say Reuven eats a pound and a half of Truma wheat. So he pays back a pound and a half of Truma wheat plus a chaymish, and that new wheat that he paid back now becomes Truma. So based on that, says the Gemara,
ha'oichal Truma. What's the Einish for eating Truma?
B'mezid?
B'mezid. What kind of Mitzvah?
Mitzvah B'dei Shemayim. So there's no Kamer, the way we pass them, there's no Kamer, right? So ha'oichal Truma's Chametz v'Pesach. If a Zar eats Truma, that's Chametz on Pesach. So we know Chametz on Pesach is worthless. It's also Rana. B'shoigig, but he did it b'shoigig, m'shalom karem v'chemish. Because since the tashlumin of shoigig, we're going to explain the Gemara, has nothing to do with a monetary value, it's a replacement of produce for produce. So therefore, makes no difference that it's worthless. Lamaisi, you ate a pound of wheat, you have to pay back a pound of wheat, plus the v'chemish. Let's say it was wheat that was chametz. I just said wheat. Let's say you ate a pound of bread. Whatever it was.
But he pays back after Pesach, he's paying back value for no value.
And economy. That's the Xeris cost of a Truma. We don't care about the value. You have to pay back a pound for a pound. So even though you're paying back a pound that's worth a lot for a pound that's worth a little, but that's what you got to do.
Why is that not regular dinim of payment throughout?
No, normal deed in property right goes by value. So if I damage you $0, I pay you back $0. Over here, I damage you $0, and I'm giving you back a pound of challah after Pesach, which is worth $20.
It has to be food for food.
Right. That's the Xeris Akasa, the
truma. Is it still truma when Pesach comes? This is still
yeah, it doesn't lose its truma.
And wasn't I mevatel it, though?
Again, we're going that it wasn't
mevatel. I didn't do biddle for my father.
Right. We're talking about it as a real Chamash Avalav Pesach. For whatever reason, it was. He didn't realize it was there. Whatever the case was. It's truma that is chametz on Pesach.
It was owned by a coin, a specific
coin. It doesn't have to be. If you saw each truma in his own rishos, it would be the same halacha.
Otherwise, this is also
Gzela,
besides everything else.
Yeah.
That's
you're
what
true.
We're talking about over here. Now we're talking about the Gzela part to repay it.
Right. Well, the Shagi, there's two things. But that's why I said, Bemez it is regular Gzela. The Shagi, in addition to Gzela, you have this Gzela.
Right,
right.
Yeah, you're paying the
to the kind that you ate it from. Right. Yeah.
It's not regular Gzela. If he Bemez it took Truma that's in his rishos that he never gave to the kind, he still has to give.
Oh, listen, but no, so then it's called what's called Mamon Shem Le'Tayvin. No. Which coin is going to be Taveyim? Which coin is going
to
take it?
To somebody.
If he did it, bemaze it. If he did it, bemaze it. That's amazing. You're talking about Beshagi?
Oh,
yeah, Beshagi, he has to pay it back. But if he does it, bemaze it, it's just regular Gzela. If he does it, if it's regular Gzela, so who's going to take him to Bezdin? No one's going to force him. No one could force him to pay
it. It's
not Gzela. It's just this. That's if it was sitting in his house. But if you took some coins, if you took David Gross's truma when it's sitting in his house, then it's regular gzela. B'mezid and b'shaygig, then it's this other halacha on top of the gzela. Right, so we had that machlokes earlier, but the way we pass them, besides with Mechum Yerachanon, so Kimmel Rabbin is only by Misa B'dei Adam. So over here, that's Misa B'dei Shemayim, the way we pass them, there's no Kimmel Rabbin.
Even though this guy had to destroy it before.
Who, right. He was supposed to, but he didn't.
So
he didn't. Again, that's a kasha to Maisa. Lamaisa, the kohen was wrong. But Lamaisa, the Jew, has an avera of eating truma. Forget about the kohen for a second. He has an avera of eating truma. He needs a kapar.
And that would not be now chametz shalva. I mean, this guy would just get the money and
yeah.
And
that's what's going to end up happening. Yeah. So our oichel truma is chametz of Pesach. B'shoygig mishalom karam chayvish. Regardless of the fact that the chametz was worthless, he still has to pay a karam chayvish. Mashayim b'mezid, where there's no gzeres akasav of the parsha v'achilas truma. It's only the regular gzeres ma'azik dinim. So I damaged something that was worthless, and therefore potter mishalom, and I'm potter from paying back the kohen. And not only do I have to pay the value of food, I don't even have to pay the value of what it's worth as fuel, because it's also about now that he can't even use it as fuel. So therefore, I would be potter totally.
But it's going to have value after Pesach.